The Gospel according to Mark. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believe in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than to have two feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have two eyes and to be thrown into hell where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. You may be seated. This morning's scripture is one of those ones that makes it hard for us to recite our usual responsive litany. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell. The Gospel of the Lord. There's a popular game out there, you may be familiar with it, called Would You Rather? The game is pretty simple. You're given two hypothetical losing circumstances that you have to choose from. Let me give you a few examples. Would you rather live without the internet or live without AC and heat? Would you rather relive the same day for 365 days or lose a whole year of your life? Would you rather lose all of your money and valuables or lose all the pictures you have ever taken? There's no real point to this game other than the mental stress of having to choose between two equally negative outcomes. My husband felt this way about the last Super Bowl. Would you rather the Eagles win the Super Bowl or the Patriots win the Super Bowl? It was a real-life would-you-rather circumstance, and to him, it was a lose either way. Today's scripture feels like a terrible game of would you rather. Would you rather cut off your hand and stop stumbling, or keep your hand and go to hell? Would you rather cut off your foot and live, or keep your foot and be thrown into unquenchable fire? Would you rather tear out your own eye or be thrown into hell where their worm never dies? Not really sure what that part means, but it doesn't sound very good, does it? Now, I don't know about you, but I certainly would like to keep both of my hands, my feet, and my eyes. Yet if these are my choices, then all of a sudden, I'm not so sure. This is one of those scriptures that for a long time I've been really afraid of. It felt like what Jesus was saying was, if you really love me, then you'll do anything to stop sinning, even if it means cutting off your hand or gouging out an eye. If you really, really love me, then you'll do whatever it takes to make yourself worthy of my loving you back. Did you ever feel that way reading this passage? Or maybe you felt that way reading James the past couple of weeks. Like, if you really believe in Jesus, then you'll do whatever it takes to live a life that models that belief. Or if you really love Jesus, then you'll cut off a part of your body to keep yourself from hypocrisy. It seems pretty despairing, doesn't it? And yet, the Gospel of the Lord we proclaim. Thanks be to thee, O Christ. Let's pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. On the surface in our scripture this morning, it certainly does seem like Jesus is laying out the cost of Christian discipleship. Like, if you want to follow Jesus, then here is what it will cost. If you want to inherit eternal life, then get ready to be willing to mutilate parts of your body for us, for it rather. This just seems to be the prescription for following Jesus. And if that's the case, if discipleship is choosing between two fairly negative outcomes, hell or mutilation, then we can only look with despair at what's ahead. Because see, I love Jesus, but I also love my hands and my feet and my eyes too. So this got me thinking this past week, because I don't believe that the Christian life is about having to choose between two unenviable choices. If it is, that's not a faith that I'm very interested in. So I started to wonder, what if this passage isn't a manual for Christian discipleship? What if it isn't prescriptive, but descriptive? Here's what I mean. Maybe this passage isn't a prescription of how to make yourself a good Christian, but a description of what happens when you find yourself swept up in this whole kingdom of God business. See, I may not be willing to maim myself in order to be a good person, but I can say that God has removed some pretty hellish things in my life that I was so attached to, they felt like they were a part of my own body. Nadia Bolz-Weber writes that maybe the cutting away that Jesus talks about here in Mark 9 is less about some weird self-mutilation of redemptive suffering, and more about just being free from the things that bind us and in turn receiving true eternal life. Let me try and give you an example. Growing up, we owned only three movies, all on VHS: Mission Impossible, Homeward Bound, and The Matrix, which means I've seen each of these movies about six dozen times each. If you've seen the 1999 film The Matrix, then you'll recall some of the story. Humans were unwittingly plugged into a computer organism, and the characters in the movie who had been unplugged, who had been free from The Matrix, were identifiable by scars on the backs of their neck. On the back of their neck was where they'd previously been shackled to The Matrix, and when they chose to have a real life and not just be in bondage to The Matrix machine, they were unplugged from it, but it hurt to be unplugged, sort of like having something cut off from their body. It hurt to have the illusion pulled away, but in exchange, those who were unplugged got real life, not an illusion, real life with real freedom and real purpose. See, I don't know about you, but I've had things like that happen in my life. I've had toxic relationships in my life that I thought I couldn't live without. I thought losing them would be like losing a part of my own body. I couldn't imagine not having the relationship, even though it was destructive to my well-being. I've talked to recovering alcoholics who say alcohol was such a part of them, like a limb to their body, that severing from it seemed like death. And yet here they are on the other side, more whole than they were before. So all of this has made me curious to know what other things in our lives are blocking out the light of Christ. What other things are we so profoundly attached to, we can't imagine surviving without them, and yet they're the very things that are keeping us from a real disillusioned life. Fear can be one of these things. Fear can so dictate our lives that it can be like sinew attached to our bones. Self-interest, if you didn't know, is so powerful that it has its own nerves and veins. Pride can be so embedded it can become our own eyes through which we see the rest of the world. These vices, so to speak, can become such essential parts of us that they're like members of our own body. Do you know what I mean? This is why abandoning toxic relationships is so hard. This is why recovering from addiction seems nearly impossible. This is why fear and selfishness and pride seem like they'll never leave us, because losing them is like cutting off a hand or a foot or having one of our own eyes gouged out. Losing these things when they've become such a part of us is painful. No doubt about it, and yet losing them is what will inevitably happen if we choose to follow Jesus. See, if any of these things get in the way of God accomplishing God's purpose in our lives and in the world, then watch out, because God will not hesitate to cut it away. We may want to keep these things, but keeping them is what's hell, you see. Losing them will be painful. The process of sanctification isn't a pleasant one, but friends, it is a life-giving one. This is what Christian discipleship is all about. It's about being set free from the things that bind us, that enslave us, that keep us from living the abundant life that God has for us. So the would you rather is not, would you rather have both of your hands and go to hell or lose a hand and live? But would you rather keep your pride, your fear, your addiction, and live in bondage? Or would you rather go through the painful process of losing these things, but in turn live in wholeness? And if those are the choices, then friends, isn't it obvious? In the book of Deuteronomy, God says that before us is set life and death, and we should choose life. Friends, choose life. I urge you. Whatever it is that feels like you can't let go of, whatever you're grasping onto like it's a part of your own body, whatever you're so afraid of losing that you think you won't survive without it, let it go, sever from it, and live.